Hello, friend. Welcome back to Foul Play and to our newest season, Casey Anthony, Truth or Lies, Episode 5, What's for Dinner? In this season, we are discussing the case of Casey Anthony and her daughter, Kaylee. We are joined by Rob Dick, who has inside knowledge of the case. And so far, we have recapped the timeline up to the point Casey is released from prison on bond. I would recommend going back to listen to episodes 1 through 4 if you haven't done so already.
So, Casey Anthony was out on bond. Rob Dick and Lena Padilla had taken her back to her parents, and Casey was to meet her parents for the first time in over a month. Her daughter Kaylee is still missing. Rob is going to take it from here.
That's kind of the turning point of where we knew where this was going, mainly because it was just a shock of counting the timeline. You've got 31 days of the supposed missing period, and then it was 30 days that she'd been in custody. So it was 30 days she'd been away from the public until we got her out. So this is her first chance to be in her own home with her mom and dad, who have been looking for her child now for 61 days. And the way she came out of the car all happy and smiles and just, it's not a grieving mother. It's not a panic. It's any parent would be panicking at that moment and running to the parents and what's going on? Where are we at? And Cindy and George are at the front of the car. Cindy's already crying. She comes running over and hugs her first. George comes up second, puts his hand on her. But she's not reacting like a mother of a missing child. And that was the biggest shock ever. I mean, yeah, kind of knew the story. Yeah, we kind of knew that she'd lied. But being in the presence of someone who, you know, later we nicknamed her the cruise director, because she always had a great mood. She was always good. Like, hey, what's fun today? What are we doing today? And that's that immediate first moment. It was like, man, we got a problem here. Something's not right. And the first thing she asked about was what was for dinner, because jail food sucked. Again, not the first thing that should have come out of her mouth. She said she needed a shower. She felt like she stank from the jail. And then, of course, Cindy's hugging her and, come on, let's go get you cleaned up. And then we'll make your favorite salmon patties. And it's just like a family on a regular night that hadn't seen their child because they were on a trip or on gone away camping or something. They just come home for the first night. Not a crisis where there's a 2, almost 3-year-old child missing. And that was the turning point kind of right then. It was kind of a weird scenario. That was when we knew that there was a problem, because it's just, again, yeah, you're taking the story of what you hear on TV and in the news, but now you're seeing basically what must have happened when she's lying to law enforcement. And that's not making sense to them. It's just like, it's a surreal thing to see the mother of a child not even care, not even bring up her name, not even talk about it. There's no discussion about it. There's no crying. There's no being upset, being worried. There's nothing. I guess how I could explain it is at that moment, it was like there wasn't a Kaylee, like there never was. And that just does not make sense. And then it was the evening, so she has her shower, and then we have dinner, and then Baez is there. And it was kind of odd because Baez had brought over a movie for us to watch, and it was about a family. I remember it because it was weird. Baez had the whole family watch it, and the kid vanished, and they thought it was the parents killed the kid, but it actually wasn't. But it was because of how they acted. They weren't acting right. They weren't acting like their child was missing. And the whole point was to basically tell Casey and the family that they have to put on this act, that they have to really be involved in this missing child. It was mainly towards Casey, because I think Baez being around her all those times, because remember, a couple of days after she went into custody, he had seen her numerous times while she was in jail. I think he already knew how she was. Like, what was a shock to us? He already knew that she's not acting. Now she's going to be out in the public. She's going to be around us. She has to start showing this.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because even when her attorney, that's who we're talking about, is having her and her parents watch this video, it's interesting to me that her behavior still didn't seem to change. And did you notice a change?
Well, no, and that was Casey's problem. She couldn't do that. She's not a very good actor. It's funny when you see her documentary now, she's obviously had a lot of trying to act and trying to fake the tears and show emotion because she couldn't do that back then. She screwed up all the time. And Baez was constantly on her, like, you have to start acting like a grieving mother. But again, to tell your client that, that's why it just got worse and worse every day with all this stuff. Because is that first night watching that video and the kid vanishes, and because of the way they act, law enforcement immediately takes them into custody, thinks it's them, they did something, their stories aren't really making sense. But like I say, the parents were taken into custody and prosecuted on.
And it's interesting because at a later date, Casey comes up with numerous theories on what happened to Kaylee, including she was abducted by the nanny, Zanny, and her sister, that Casey's father, George, abused Casey and Kaylee, that Kaylee drowned in the family pool and George found her and disposed of her body, that George drowned Kaylee in the pool and then concealed her body. The scenarios were countless and changed continuously.
Over the coming days, Rob, Leonard, and a female were there with Casey, 24/7, to make sure she was safe at all time. Rob tells us what that was like.
I had the premonition or knowledge that I never wanted to be alone with her. I actually was concerned about, just based off of what we knew, I never ever wanted to be alone with her. So we had another female with us. And so it was kind of a game that nobody knew till the very end. But when I would park the car in the garage, the female would come out, get in the car, hide in the back seat. And then we'd have Casey come in and sit right behind me in the back seat. So there's like three seats. So she's in the way back laying down. Casey's sitting in the back seat. And then I'm driving. And then I have another person in a separate chase car. And I never wanted to be alone with her ever. So in the beginning, she would go with her like to the bathrooms, the shower. We didn't know if Casey would kill herself or whatever.
Yeah.
2 minutes after you're around Casey, you know that she's never going to hurt herself. So yeah, she's not. She's got too much of self-preservation that she's not going to hurt herself. So then it was kind of, she could go to the bathroom, go wherever, and the female was just there. So I spent a lot of time in the house just hanging out. And then we actually got a trailer. We rented a trailer and put a travel trailer right in front of the house. So at night, then when everybody's going to bed, I would go out and sleep in the trailer. And then a lot of times, Casey actually slept with Cindy. She actually went and laid down next to her in her room when George was gone. And then the other female just was in Casey's room. Every day she went somewhere. She either had to go to home confinement on the very first day, and then she had to go to Baez's office. So we were always going back and forth. But the first words in the morning of her to me were always, how many cameras are out there today? Is the helicopter out there today? It was like the Casey show, and she was starring. How much fanfare is out there? And I want to say it was like the third day in or something, kind of played a game with her that she didn't know. Is she gets in the car and she goes, okay, so how many cameras out there? Do I look good? And I said, oh yeah, there was a shooting across town. And I think all the media must have had to go to that shooting or something because there's nobody out there. And the look on her face was just, I mean, she was devastated. She was so upset and so pissed, didn't talk, put her head down. It's like, oh my God, you're not caring about your daughter. You're just being in front of the media. I would relate her, and I used to joke with Leonard that those two are the same. Leonard can't stand to be not in front of a camera, and neither can she.
Yeah, she liked the attention, it seemed.
Yeah. And it was more than just even to the public side. There was an instance where we were sitting in the living room and Cindy's showing baby pictures of Kaylee. When she's like showing us pictures, showing this is her birthday party, just going through pictures in a photo album. And Casey goes and gets her photo album, puts it on top and says, but look at me, wasn't I a cute baby? I mean, really?
Alarm bells were ringing for Rob and Leonard from the start. They had given Casey the benefit of the doubt when they posted her bond. But every minute they spent with her, they realized that something was not right. And the bells were getting louder by the day. She had barely mentioned Kaylee. She was more concerned about the media presence outside the house and how she looked. A few days after Casey's release, Leonard told a local news channel.
So what do you think of her?
I think she's a self-centered, egotistical, little spoiled brat.
It turns out the bounty hunter got the same story from Casey that she'd given police, with some slight variations.
But pull your baloney factor. Is it going off?
Yeah.
And you called her on it?
Yeah. She says, get out of my house. You're not going to talk to me like a cop. Get out.
Rob was very cautious of Casey. She flirted, she lied, and she was manipulative. And he didn't want to get caught in the crossfire.
There was the sunglass game, they called it. She would.
As fall rolls in, I'm ready to trade in summer gear for cozy layers. And there's no better way to elevate my wardrobe than with a few essentials from Quince. Imagine slipping into a soft Mongolian cashmere sweater that starts at just $60, or putting on a sharp leather jacket, all without breaking the bank. Quince focuses on luxury quality without the luxury price tag. How? By working directly with ethical factories, Quince skips the middleman, so their pieces cost 50 to 80% less than similar brands. That means I can upgrade my style with premium fabrics and finishes for a fraction of the price. Upgrade your wardrobe with pieces made to last. Go to quince.com/Shane for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Shane. To get free shipping and 365-day returns, quince.com/Shane.
Tell the female when she's getting ready, do I look good? Because me and Rob are going to play the sunglass game when we get in the car. And what it was she wore these big white sunglasses that you see around the news all the time, and they're around, and the one time she gets in the car and she looks in the mirror and she goes, look at me, don't I look like Jackie O today? On your head you're just like, no, you're supposed to be looking like a grieving mother's what you're supposed to be doing, but it's just not her. So when we would drive, I would kind of look over my sunglasses into the mirror to make eye contact with her. And then she would bring her sunglasses down. And it was like this little flirty game all the time. And that was one thing that we always saw with her, is that she's very flirtatious and she wants to be the spotlight no matter where she's at. And again, all these things are just adding up to the fact that none of this makes sense to a missing child. And then, of course, then you had all the public kind of getting more and more ramped up as well, having problems outside, and everybody, including Cindy and George, had their own attorney at that point. Their attorney would tell them, I would tell them, just stay in the house, don't engage these people, but they couldn't help it. To a point, I get it, they're sick of it, trying to figure out what's going on. They've got all these people, random people from all over the country just showing up, trying to stand on their lawn. One time they were throwing little rocks at the window. They were knocking on the door and we're just chasing people off. At one point, there was a band that had rented a flatbed trailer and written a song about how she'd killed her kid and just came up and started playing right in the street. I mean, it was like the circus. For me, I had never in my life been involved in something like this. It was just chaos the whole time. And then, of course, the media was doing different live spots. Nancy Race. This was her main case at the time. So she was doing live spots right in front of the house, right on the side of the street. And no, I think that was great, keeping the name out there and keeping it in the media, but it was drawing people from everywhere. I mean, even just people like that would walk across the sidewalk in between the taping and the house just to be like on national TV. It's just sitting here like, what is going on with this zoo here? And it was getting aggressive. There was the incident where when the garbage was recovered by law enforcement from the tow yard, and they found a pizza box in there in the garbage. So Cindy actually went to that as the excuse of, oh, that must have been it. It was the pizza. It had to have been the pizza that smelled like that. Media did their own test, bought a pizza, put it in the trunk for a couple days to see if it smelled that bad. Somebody ordered a pizza to the Anthony home while we were there. We actually had a pizza delivered, and inside it said, to the baby killer. There's all this stuff going on. We thought it was kind of funny in a way of like, hey, we get a free pizza. And Leonard's like, oh my gosh, it's probably poison. Someone sent in a pizza to poison her. And we're like, oh, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe we shouldn't eat that. But there's just all these components of craziness going on.
Right.
And it was concerning.
There were so many crazy incidents that happened during this time. Rob recounts one for us.
Kind of a funny story, I guess, is one of the first times I was transporting her. I think we were going to home confinement, and Leonard was already over there. And so I had Casey and the female in the car, and I always had what I call a chase car, just in case there was something to do something, we could use that car to block or whatever. And we had radios. And so we're going down the freeway, and I've got this guy that's just on us. And I'm looking, and he's definitely following us. He's getting closer and closer. It's just weird. We don't know what's going on. We got all these nuts out there. So I tell my partner, I said, okay, I'm going to start to get off the freeway, and at the last second, I'm going to jump back on, and you make sure that car gets off, doesn't fall us back on, and then catch up to us. So we do that little move. Well, the guy tries to get back on and ends up kind of going into the ditch. Like, he's really trying to get back on. He goes into the ditch. And so we get to the home confinement, we get out. And I'm looking at Leonard. Leonard's got the phone hanging it out away from his ear. He's obviously getting screamed at by somebody. And as we get there, Leonard goes, I think this is for you. And he hands it to me. And it's a lieutenant at the Orange County Sheriff's Department just screaming at us that we ran their sergeant into the ditch. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe same team, maybe let us know. And what we didn't realize is they actually had a detail on us to make sure we weren't going to get her out of there and follow her too, and just make sure that everything was legit. So it was kind of funny, because after that we had that little talk, and I'm like, hey, we're cool with that. We don't care. We just need to know. He said, yeah, we got four people assigned to you. There'll be three or four cards on you guys at all times. So then it became a comical game of when I would go somewhere, I would turn on the blinker and look in the mirror, and then they're like, four cars would like move over, and we'd do this everywhere we went, you know, just following each other like formation.
Thank you for listening to episode 5 of Casey Anthony, Truth or Lies, What's for Dinner? In episode 6...
Saturday, the bondsman who posted the $500,000 bond last week said it had been rescinded, making it unlikely the young mother will be released from jail again.